Now, how did Paul get to the point where he could do this? Look at chapter 19, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, so he left Apollos there, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, or I came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. That's the first thing he did, was to assemble a team. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost? And have you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And then he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And then he said unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, verily, baptize them in repentance. Then he laid hands, and they were all, in verse 6, filled with the Holy Ghost, and spoke in tongues, and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And then in verse 8, and he now made a mistake. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months inside the synagogue, disputing and pursuing things concerning the kingdom of God. What happened? But when divers were hardened, because these were people that were antagonistic there, hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed, separated the disciples, disputing daily, which means they were started teaching at a school, let's say a primary school called Tyrannus there, and in verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So it spread. So he removed himself from the environment of any form of antagonism, carried people into his inner circle there, as a structure there, and then the whole thing, and they destabilized what was going on in that city and throughout the entire Asia. Those 12 guys there destabilized everything there, because once people, that's what God said, can come together there, all right, in harmony there, then they can lay hold, right, and get powerful things done upon the earth. Now, let me also say this here, right, because we'll get to it maybe next week. When you start building a business, therefore will mean, you know, assembling people together, all right, okay? Or if you're working somewhere, you're being assembled together here for the purpose, right, of creating less economic wealth and power. Now, understand this if you're a leader. Once you start making profit and economic power begins to come in, it is important that in order for there to be cohesion, which is the secret to the wealth, cohesion in that organization, it is important that there is a fair distribution of the money that is being made. Do you hear what I'm saying here? We don't do this in Africa, that's why organizations collapse. That's why it collapses. That's why things don't last for long. Because what happens is, the main people begin to make money. You, the main man. I mean, somebody has written me before and reported somebody to me in this church. He said, the children go for summer. We know this. They go to the most expensive schools. We have not been paid for 6 months. Now, that company comes down. Because what enters into that place is witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Ill will starts getting projected towards you. Because you're not carrying people along, their hearts turn at one point. Because when they started, they saw you, you came in with some second-hand car, and all of you, they will help you to push the car. And it was like family. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And one of them even used his talent to help you, that he knows how to start cars that are like this. And then they helped you to start the car. And your car started. And then you now came and went to buy a new Jeep. And they are still walking in the rain. Are you following what I'm saying? Coming in. All right? You started your tailoring business. One tailor was faithful to you, doing things. Now he can see that the company is growing. One order is now 250 orders now a month. Yet, his own condition has not changed. Witchcraft starts. In other words, a supporter will soon become a thorn. Are you following what I'm saying here? One of my electricians told me something. Said, Oga, we'll talk about someone. Said, he's in politics. Say, Oga, I'll say to your brother again. Say, Oga, I support my money. I said, why? Said, Tio Baba Daje, ilu ofe. In other words, if it's only the man on top eating, the economy will shrink. Business is different from trade. Trade is by yourself. You are exchanging a product or service to make money. Business is that you are assembling people of various talents and gifts into a cohesive unit. Are you following what I'm saying here? In order to multiply what is going on. And the secret to it, the Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. That word good is economic value. That's why you have places like Microsoft, they say they have over 3,000 millionaires inside that organization. Our problem in Africa is that they won't allow any other person to be a millionaire. That's the problem. In other words, what is going on now is that Bill Gates now might not even be directly involved with Microsoft again. The talents and the gifts of other people are there. But the people have looked at it. If I was on my own, I wouldn't be making all this money. Do you get what I'm saying? Integrity, very important. Right? Martin Luther talked about the power of love. He said that he has come to the conclusion that the manner and way in which you do your job, all right, and do things, all right, on the job is one of the greatest service of love you can render to humanity. Because you are doing it from a place of integrity, all right, to help people. You don't want to cut corners. You don't want to cheat. And we'll get to this. Two things are required. Number one, we engage in spiritual battle. But number two, two qualities: character and competence. In other words, for David, they called it integrity of heart and skillfulness of hand. Merge that with understanding spiritual warfare. That person cannot be stopped in building economic wealth on the earth. We'll show it. What do we mean by integrity of heart? Your integrity of heart simply means that you usually say bake cakes for people and they buy it. Now, there's one of the ingredients that is not in the market. You know that you can bake this cake without adding it. You know the cost of that ingredient, that it actually makes the price go higher. Now you don't have the ingredient, but it's just there as a small flavor. All right, they say, and then the staff says, "Madam, we don't have this ingredient there. What should we make?" You said, "Just bake it. Just bake it. They will know. Even if they eat it, and they taste different, we'll say it's Hamatan that's hot." Are you following what I'm saying? We want to say this here. That what do? You call the person and tell the person you've demanded, and there's integrity. These are the seeds you sow that are powerful. These are commercial seeds, though, that bring profit. You tell them, excuse me, listen, we usually use a particular ingredient, it's not in the market. You want your cake delivered, I can make this adjustment here. It will taste fairly nice. If you don't want it, we can cancel the order, we'll refund the money. We're sorry. But if they can adjust it, this is it. But I don't want to do something, and I can send samples to you to taste so that you know. I will make, and Ben says, all right, and I will send it to your office, and then they taste and say, okay, we are okay with this. And you say the adjustment in the price will be less than this particular amount because we don't have this ingredient there. And they say it's fine. You have sown a powerful seed. When they say the king sent for him, it's not some mystery. It's that you do that kind of thing, that person is somewhere where there's a big job to be done. And he says, we need somebody with integrity. I remember this person. Let me tell you, a staff of mine, she her iPhone dropped and the face got smashed. So I was traveling. So I said, okay. She gave me everything. I was going to New York. I said, all right, I'll help you change it. I got to the Apple head office there. I went there and I showed them and they looked at it and they said, well, she doesn't have one kind of insurance, so you will have to pay $149 for us to change the screen. I said, no problem, I'll pay it. He said, but the phone is not coming on. Then he went through everything. After about 10 minutes, he said, under no circumstances in this world can this phone come on again. Now, this is in the Apple shop, the Apple people are telling you. So that's the end. So he said, what has to happen is that you have to get a brand new phone. He said, but hold it. He said, I have an arrangement. That same $149, you get the brand new iPhone 7 and give. You think I forgot that? What is the thorn? The thorn says at the business point, Oga, listen, these people here, this $149, listen, there's an arrangement. If you just give me $250, come back at about 5 o'clock to the other side, I'll give you. To paraphrase Luther, he said, the number one way in which we show love to our neighbor is the quality of work and delivery of service we bring to them. Because we've told you that in the workplace, that's it. Your integrity of your heart. We are called to reshape and reform our world. To be in the place where God originally intended. To restore order. Loving and serving one another with integrity. Honesty in meeting each other's needs. And creating something of value from the raw materials that God has supplied. And this is what I want you. Because there is really no business in all this trade people do. I just don't want to call one that people are doing now, so they won't say I'm discouraging them. But any form of investment that you are doing, that is just money-to-money investment, and nothing backs it, which means when you check, how is this money being made? And nobody anywhere is converting raw material on the earth to a product or a service of value. But money is just making money. Ponzi. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's Ponzi. One day you're going to wake up. That 45 million you are seeing go disappear. And it was Bishop T.J. that said it right. He said, we've taught faith wrongly. And it's true. He said, what God does is that he gives us the tree. And then he expects us to bring the chair out of it. He gives you the raw material. And then he expects that you bring something of value. Now, let me tell you this. I know, hear what I'm saying, how those ideas come. And that's what I want to share. That's what I want to get into the series. I understand now how Daniel had 10 times more understanding. Are you following what I'm saying? I shared something somewhere. One pastor in this church who is a top banker, he said, Pastor, whatever you say about business, make sure it's recorded. He was telling somebody. He said, what he says, no MBA program can touch it. The reason, and I understood why he was saying what he said, because I read those things in business. And there's a way I interpret scripture into it that produces ideas that are not of this world. Do you get what I'm saying? Because that's what we're going to get into next week there. How these ideas come is not rocket science. There's a way in which ideas come. And once you understand how those ideas come, all right? Once you understand it, it's not rocket science. Prayer is involved. Look, what's the benefit of spiritual warfare? And we're talking about Moses that lifted up the rod. And God showed me, and he was involved in spiritual warfare. Then he said, engage, get engaged in it. Right? Get involved. And when the rod was up, Joshua wins. When the rod was down, Joshua loses. And God said, look, this was going on. Peter Wagner said this, and this is what we need to convert, particularly in this country. He said, in all of human history, that from their research, not another non-military, non-political voluntary human movement has grown dramatically as the Pentecostal charismatic movement in the last 40 years. In all of human history, he said none has grown. Non-military, which means that, except the ones that are using military power, all right? That's voluntarily, which means people by themselves are joining a movement. He said none has grown in the history of humanity as the Pentecostal movement in 40 years. He said the most fundamental lesson I see, that's Peter Wagner, is that they have a more advanced understanding that the real battle is spiritual. That the effectiveness of our efforts depends a great degree on the outcome of spiritual battles in the heavenlies. In other words, it is the people that say we are going to put in effort, but the outcome of our effort will be determined by our victories in the realm of the spirit. What does the victory in the realm of the spirit bring when you win spiritual warfare? When you win spiritual warfare, what you do is that this is what happened. When Daniel prayed, after 21 days, the angel came. What did the angel bring? He said, I have come to bring skill and understanding. Skill is a detailed information on how to make it work. That God gave you this promise, I've come to give you the detailed information on how it will work there. Right? So he said, I've come to bring skill and understanding. In other words, what was happening there? When Moses lifted up the rod there over it and was winning the battle in the realm of the spirit, detailed information was entering Joshua as to how to fight. Which means when the ideas were coming, he would tell his commander, you move to that place. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. And the ideas were flowing. Because what's our warfare is not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. It's pulling down strongholds. It's casting down imagination. It's bringing every thought to the obedience. Which means once you are winning the war in the heavenly, thoughts are flooding your mind as to how to execute what you are doing in the natural. So he was executing with precision. The minute the rod went down, the idea stopped. So how does a person keep growing the business there? Ideas just keep coming. Do it like this, you do it, it works. Do it like this, you do it, it works. Do it. That's what it means, open heavens. Constant flood. And there's a way in which this comes. And let me tell you, a man of skill who has detailed information as to how to get things done. Put up 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 6. Will never lack. Now you have skill. He says, now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servant shall be with thy servant, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servant according to all thou shalt appoint, or what wages you call, we will pay you. For thou knowest there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. In other words, he said, nobody in Israel has the skill of these guys. He said, now my servants will go to with your servant in order to learn skill. But whatever you ask us to pay, we will pay you because we need your skill. This was just to cut down trees. Which means there are different ways of cutting down trees. I said, you will always be hired if you have extraordinary skill. Extraordinary skill means you have detailed information. And let me tell you this. It takes two things to say this. Warfare. You sit down there, you read your Bible there, and then you read books. You know, one time, and this is what that chap was saying, and I will start with this next week. Trade is when an individual is exchanging a good or profit. Business is when a man is amalgamating people together in order to multiply that. Then I understood that that's what Jesus said. Jesus gave them three men talents. He said, go and trade. When they came back, what did he say? He said, now go and govern. That govern there is go and turn this into enterprises. So when in the business school, they are defining business as that. So once you understand what Jesus said and you trace what Jesus said, you add something. That's what David was saying, that I have more understanding than my teachers because your meditation, which means you are combining spiritual information with the natural one you are getting, you trigger something. But oh boy, let me tell you, if not only Bible you read, Jack, you're not going to Jack. You understand what I'm saying? They said the average successful CEO reads 60 books a year. That means every week he's reading a book. What's he looking for? Raw material to convert. Somebody became very successful, I just won't say it. I think his children, somebody told me in England, school fees of his children where they go to is about £107,000. Started in this place. He was working in the bank. He was the message here he used to start his business. I remember back then he told me, he said, Pastor, the secret to success in business is reading. He said, I found it. It is reading. If you don't read anything, I'm not saying religious books, so that you read that one, but you don't read it. You say you're going to a bank on how to get money. You have never read how to get money from banks. You've never read. You just go there. In fact, as you start talking, they get afraid because of what you are saying. Are you following? I told them, is it Wednesday? That I said the fastest selling thing on the internet, on social media, is anger. Research has shown is anger. That before is when you put babies and puppies, but now anger. So anybody who is manifesting anger will be drawing people. But if you are going to trade on social media, understand it. Or else, you'll just be saying, where are the likes? Or if they like, why don't they come to the shop after they like? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth. And cause your light to flood our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening.